Good morning, friends, and welcome to this online service. It's lovely to be able to gather together with you again today, even if it's remotely still. And it's good to be able to bring to mind some of the truths that we know about God and ask for God to affect things in our lives that we may be conformed to his ways and not our own. So let us begin with a time of prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that from out of the world you have called us. We thank you that in you we can find true rest, true peace, and we can find our home. We long for the day, Lord, when we can leave behind the things of this world to be with you in the kingdom of God, where we can lay aside all the pain and suffering and be constantly at peace in your loving and holy presence. So help us, Lord, as we read scriptures today, as we lift our praises to you, to be involved in the heavenly worship that occurs at all times, that we might be conformed to your ways and live as Christ lived, for you and not for ourselves. So we commend ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read to you now the first reading. Both of our readings come from Genesis today, and I'm going to start by reading to you from chapter 1, starting at verse 27 and going to the end of the chapter. This is following on from all God has created so far. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female, blessed them, and said, "Have many children, so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge of the fish of the birds, the fish and the birds, and all the wild animals. I provided all kinds of grain and all kinds of fruit for you to eat. But for all the wild animals and for all the birds, I provided grass and leafy plants for food, and it was done. God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Evening passed, and morning came. That was the sixth day." Well, let us give glory now, as it is right to do so, and thanks to God for his beautiful creation. Everything was made perfect, and we rejoice at this as we sing together. You can follow the words in the description below. We're going to sing together, "Morning has broken, like the first morning." Let us sing. Human disobedience. Now the snake was the most cunning animal that the Lord God had made. The snake asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?" "We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden," the woman answered, "except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die." The snake replied, "That's not true. You will not die. God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you'll be like God and know what is good and what is bad." The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat, and she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some fruit of the tree and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate it. As soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and uncovered themselves. That evening, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it." Then the Lord God said to the snake, "You will be punished for this. You alone of all the animals must bear this curse. From now on you will crawl on your belly, and you will have to eat dust as long as you live. I will make you and the woman hate each other. Her offspring and yours will always be enemies. Her offspring will crush your head, and you will bite her offspring's heel." And he said to the woman, "I will increase your trouble in pregnancy and your pain in giving birth. In spite of this, you will still have desire for your husband, yet you will be subject to him." And he said to the man, "You listened to your wife and ate the fruit which I told you not to eat. Because of what you've done, the ground will be under a curse. You will have to work hard all your life to make it produce enough food for you. It will produce weeds and thorns, and you'll have to eat wild plants. You'll have to work hard and sweat to make the soil produce anything until you go back to the soil for which you were formed. You were made from the soil, and you will become soil again." Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all human beings. And the Lord God made clothes out of the animal skins for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Well, last week we considered that this time of lockdown, this second lockdown, might be a time for us to understand God more. Might be an opportunity for us to open up scriptures and to read more, because this is the way that we find out about God. And so I want to speak with you a little bit today about what we can learn about God through scripture, which helps us to understand why studying scripture is so important. You know, our personal concept of God, when we pray for instance, is worthless unless it is coherent and coincides with self-revelation. What I mean when I say that is that if what we have is not an accurate foundation or construct of who God is, then all the prayers in the world that we have might be misplaced, might be prayers that we shouldn't utter. Our beliefs about God need to be correct so that our actions can also be correct. Even our prayers can be incorrect if we don't understand who God is. When I say our prayers can be incorrect, I don't mean that saying prayers can ever be wrong. But what I'm saying is the subject of our prayers might be wrong if we don't understand who God is. The true existence and nature of God does not depend on anything we might think that God is. The true existence and the nature of God are based purely on who God already is. Unchangeable attributes, unchangeable ways, unchangeable nature that we have an opportunity to understand about by opening our Word and reading and understanding Scripture. If you think about it, humankind throughout history have erected statues and monuments designed to capture something of the God they worship. But these things are just stone. They don't capture anything about God. In fact, they pervert the truth about God. The next thing I want us to understand is that there is so much we can learn about who our God is when we open Scripture. For example, we can learn about the natural attributes that God has, that he's omnipotent, for example, meaning he is all-powerful, that nothing is impossible for him. If we really understand this and believe the truth about it, then we can come to prayer in confidence, not just asking, maybe if this could happen, Lord, in our prayers, but saying with confidence, Lord, we pray that your will be done, knowing that it can be done. Also, another natural attribute that we learn about through Scripture is God's omnipresence. That is, that he is not a distant God or a far-off God or a God that has created something and left it to be. Our God is a personal God. He is here all the time. He is in all places with us. He is very personal and a real help in a time of trouble. So that can help us in our prayer life again, can't it? Knowing that God sees, hears, knows what's going on, and knowing that he's there with us in our happy times, in our sad times, he is there. And he can be a real help in a time of trouble, because we remember also that he's all-powerful. We remember also that he is omniscient. That is, that he is all-knowing, that he knows our actions and our thoughts. If we know this, if we know we can't hide anything from God, as we heard that Adam and Eve tried to hide their nakedness from God, we will understand that we can just come to the Lord as we are. We receive him as we are, that we don't have to feel guilt and shame. He already knows the darkest secrets we have. And he loves us anyway. What a God we have. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel much better about my Lord, my God. And also understanding that God is eternal. Some people might say, look at the world, the person who created, the God, the deity, whatever it was who created this, must be dead. Our God is not dead. The Bible tells us he is eternal. And we see this in Jesus. Not even the grave could hold him. He is eternal and he will live forever. If I'm going to place my trust in somebody or something or a God, then knowing of a God who is eternal seems like a good place to place your trust. He has seen all things. He will see and know all things. He is the God of eternity. Understanding these things, these truths about God, can help us as we approach God in our lives. We understand that we are precious to God because of what we learn about him. We understand also about God's perfection. There is no fault to be found in him. He is completely and unutterably holy. His moral attributes show us this. When we say he is holy, it means that he is of absolute moral excellence. There is no limitation to his moral perfection. He doesn't get things wrong sometimes and things slip out of control. He is perfect, and that is why he cannot tolerate sin. So we learn that about God. And we also learn another moral attribute about God through reading Scripture. That is that he is loving. He is all loving. God's love is divine and perfect. It's not conditional, it's an unconditional love. And it's a holy kind of love. It's all that is good. It is all that is right. It is all that we need to sustain us. Another thing we learn from Scripture about God that we wouldn't know if we didn't immerse ourselves in Scripture is that God is one, but he exists in three persons. He is one in his essential being, but there are three modal forms in which he operates. We describe these as persons. God, though, we need to realize, is not separate in any way in these persons. He is united as one. He is one in divine essence. The three persons of God are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see evidence of this throughout Scripture. We understand that the Son and the Spirit are subordinate to the Father, but they are not inferior. The Father is from whom the Spirit and the Son originate and all things originate. The Son reveals to us the way. The Spirit executes it in our lives. All one God, Father, Son, and Spirit with their unique role. Only Scripture tells us this truth. Another thing to know about God, when people ask questions like, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why did God allow this or that? Or when people say, we can't have free will because God is all-powerful, all-knowing. Well, Scripture, if you read it, has an answer to these things as well. It's important to understand that God is the physical sustainer. He is the governor over all creation. Everything is subject to his will and his divine decrees. However, this does not mean that humans lack the ability to make their own choices. God's directive will is shown as he passes decrees. So in Genesis 1, for example, the reading that we heard today, we hear that God is the sustainer, the governor, the creator of all, that he looked at it all and it was good. But we also hear that he is permissive. There is a permissive will of the Father that he allowed to take place. For example, in our second reading today from Genesis 3, we hear of sin's entrance into the world. And it's important to realize that God created the world perfect, but God permitted sin's entrance into the world because man chose to disobey. He didn't direct sin into the world, but he permitted sin to be in the world if man chose to sin. He himself did not direct the entrance of sin into the world, When there's pain and suffering in the world, we cannot blame God for it. He created things perfect. Humankind have themselves to blame for the suffering that is in the world. God created things perfect. But on the other hand, we can't say that because God is all-powerful that he doesn't allow us to have free choice. His permissive will allows us that for all the trouble that we've created ourselves. So I wonder, as you go about your life this week, as you meditate and think about what you read about God in Scripture, I wonder how your understanding of God will grow. I wonder how your understanding of God's natural and moral attributes will influence your daily life and your prayer life. I wonder how your understanding of God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will impact the way you view God this week. But what is for certain is if we don't open the Scriptures, we can't know and understand the God to whom we pray. We can't pray with the confidence that we have. It is such a blessing that we have the Scriptures and that God reveals himself through them to us. May God reveal himself to you increasingly through the Scriptures as you read them this week. Going to lift our voices to sing again now, and we're going to sing Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. And again, these words can be found in the description underneath this video. Time of prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, We lift up our nation and the nations across the world that are struggling at this time in the midst of this pandemic. We pray for all those, Lord, who are suffering with their health, for families who are watching loved ones suffer. And we pray for those who treat those who are suffering also. We pray, Lord, that your peace would be on those in each and every situation. We thank you, Lord, for the glimmer of hope that there has been this week with the vaccine. We pray, Lord, that that will come to pass, that we will be able to get back to normal. We give thanks for the hope that this has provided for us this week. As we look out into the world this week, we also see examples of suffering, Lord, where there is poverty, where there is war, where there is conflict and abuse. We can sometimes get so wrapped up, Lord, in seeing the problem that confronts us now that we don't remember in our prayers those other issues. And so we lift them to you now. We pray, Lord, that the community in which we live will be a community in which people can thrive and flourish. We pray that the church would represent true witness to you as the true living God in our communities, and that you would bless each one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. We pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.